Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
You ever get discouraged? I mean, like, really discouraged. I mean, like what is going on kind of discouraged? This week, I've been going back to a verse. It's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been talking to God. Jeremiah's telling God about just how discouraged he is. And listen, this is in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? That's just what you want to hear from God, right? You go to God and you're discouraged, and God says, if this derailed you, how are you going to deal with the bigger stuff when it comes? If this posed such a problem for you, what's going to happen when there's a real crisis? And I was there last week, just admittedly, I was. And I was there because something had gotten next to me. And that was last Sunday. Because see, last Sunday, first of all, before I go any further, you know I love you. Maybe two of you do, but you know I love you. Last Sunday morning, we had a large number here. And I was talking about, I was so excited about House of Prayer. We're going to have a House of Prayer on Sunday night. And I was talking about how we're going to pray, and we're going to go before God, and we're going to look at the mission of the church. We're going to look at the future vision of the church. We're going to look at the future direction of the church. And then we got here, and I kept looking at the clock, and I'm like, sooner or later, there's going to be people are going to start, you know? And it didn't happen. No, we had a few. But we're missing a lot of people. No, I know some of you had different things you were doing. I understand that. I'm not trying to throw shame. That's not what I'm trying to do here, okay? I'm not trying to motivate you by guilt. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I stood up here and I looked around the room and I thought, wow, this is discouraging. So Sunday night after everybody left, I went back to my office and I sat there and in the outer office, I sat there on a couch and I just kind of prayed and I was like, Lord, what was that about? And then I woke up in the night thinking about it, which is not the best thing to do. And by the time I got here Monday morning, I had gotten all worked up. Those of you who were here on staff, sorry. But so we had some talks and some discussions, and God kept bringing me back to this. And it was a matter, and it was a great time. Those of you who are here, it was a great time. It was a very small number, but it was, you know, I was thankful for that verse about where two or more are gathered. I was like, whew, good. But I kept going back to this verse this week. If you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And it was almost as though God was saying, listen, this is a big deal. But at the same time, what about those things, Dustin, that keep you from prayer at times? What about before you turn around and you start saying, well, Lord, all these people didn't show up for House of Prayer. What about your prayer life in general? What are the things that keep you from prayer? How many times, Dustin, has your cell phone kept you from a committed and focused time of prayer because you start talking to me and then you start thinking about, oh, I wonder if there's that email I need to send. Or I wonder about this. So really, God's really started dealing with me about my prayer life through this. And how it is that God wants to use my prayer life and how I need to be more committed in my prayer life and I need to be more focused in my prayer life. And if things like the running with men on foot, if that wearies me, if the cell phone, or if a television schedule, or if a host of other distractions, if that wearies me and I faint at the men that I have to run with on foot, how am I going to contend with the horsemen when they come, when the big issues come? when we may not have as many freedoms as we have right now in America? How am I going to contend with that? Whenever true crises emerge, how am I going to deal with that? Whenever more and more people rise up against the church and what the church stands for and Christianity in America, how am I going to deal with that if I have a distraction of my cell phone whenever I'm having my prayer time? If I've been wearied by those on foot, how am I going to contend with those horsemen when they come? Now, I know, again, some of you had great reasons. Some of you were sick. Some of you were out. Some of you had different things. And I had multiple people talk to me, and they gave me this. They told me this. They said, well, Dustin, it's not personal. It's not toward you. Oh, but that it were. I wish it were. If you didn't come back because you said, I didn't like his attitude, that's fine. I didn't like the fact that he doesn't wear a tie usually on Sunday morning. That's fine. I don't like the way he preaches. That's fine. Or I just don't like him in general. You know what? I'm a big boy. That's fine. It really doesn't bother me. But it doesn't bother me if you dislike me. What I'm concerned about is, do you love prayer? Do you love God? It doesn't matter. My ego's not in this. It's not like I'm walking around saying, oh, look at all the number of people that we had today. No. It's every single person here has an opportunity to hear the word of God and to respond to him. That's what excites me. It's not about my ego. It's not. I don't look at it as a reflection upon me. I don't. There was a time in my life early on that probably I would, but maybe I've just reached a point, as my mother used to say, you reach a certain point in your life, you just don't care. And maybe I'm reaching that point, and really and truly, lots of things don't matter as much to me as they did. But your walk with Christ does matter to me. And that's why we pray. Maybe some of you have never been to a house of prayer before. When we have a house of prayer, We don't put people in circles, and we don't force people to pray, and no one's going to call on you to pray or anything like that. We tell people you can pray as individuals at your seat silently. You can pray aloud if you want to. You can pray with your husband or your wife. You can pray with your family. We have people who stay in their seats, and they just turn around and get on their knees there at their seat, and they just pray there at their seat. Some people come to the altar and pray, and usually what we do is we have a few times broken up, a few different times of specific prayer for specific things. And we just have a time of concerted prayer, and then we go into another time of prayer. That's what we do. Prayer is so important. And it's important because you think of James chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 2. It says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Can I give you a translation for that? Okay. There are things you don't have. There are things you won't see. There are things that will not be accomplished if you do not pray. Now, in the mystery of prayer, God has organized it and orchestrated it so that he sovereignly works through prayer. How does that work? I don't know all the particulars. All I know is that there are things, unless we ask God for them, we do not receive them. So if there's something to be asked for, I want to be asking for it because you do not have because you do not ask. We've been talking about foundations the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about what is our spiritual foundation, and prayer is one of those spiritual foundations. It's that important. It is us talking to God. So I know maybe right now some of you are like, well, I don't like this. I don't like the attitude of this. Maybe. If so, you haven't heard my heart. But maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, I will make a note not to miss the next house of prayer. Maybe you would say, well, I'm going to be there for the next house of prayer. Can I make you a promise? Every single one of us is going to be there for the next house of prayer because we're about to have one right now. Because it's that important. We have an opportunity as a faith family to come together and go before, listen to me, go before the Lord God of the universe. the God who formed humans as a special creation out of dirt and breathed not just somebody else's breath, his own breath into humans. The breath that you take right now has its origin way back there at creation, where God first breathed life into dead, cold dirt. That's the God we get to talk to. The God who spoke on the mountain when fire came down on Mount Sinai, and he gave the law and he showed his holiness, and people couldn't even approach that mountain and touch the mountain, because if they did, they would be killed because of the holiness of that place. This same God who sent his son to die on a cross for our sins so that we could have our relationship restored with him, that's the God that we get to go before, and we have the privilege of being able to go before and worship and praise and talk to. It's that God. So here's what we're going to do in the next few moments. I want us to walk through three times of prayer. We're not going to do the same thing we did on Sunday night. We have three other kind of emphases we want to look at. Let me encourage you. Where you are, again, no one's going to call on you to pray. You know, I want so-and-so to pray aloud. We're not going to do that. But will you join me in praying for these areas? I'm just going to lead us through. I'm going to read a few verses here and just explain kind of our first prayer emphasis, and we're going to go into that. If you want to come up here to the altar and you want to pray for one of these, you feel free to. If you want to come up here to the altar and you just want to stay at the altar through the whole thing, that's fine. If you want to stay in your seat, if you want to turn around and pray there at your seat, you want to grab your husband's or wife's hand and pray with them, if you want to pray as a family, however it is that you want to pray, you just do that. If you want to sit there and write out a prayer and jot down your prayer somewhere, you go ahead and you do that. But we're going to take a few minutes as a faith family, and we're going to go before God and we're going to pray. Because if you have not, because you ask not, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask. And if we don't have it, it's just going to be because God did not allow that to happen. God didn't will that to happen, but it won't be because we didn't ask. We won't have that excuse. But we're going to go and we're going to pray. Let me pray for us, and then I'll go into our first section. Lord God, we come before you and we are thankful for the gift of prayer. We're thankful for the privilege of prayer. And Father, when I think of all the number of times in my life that I have just sinned in prayerlessness, it staggers me. Father, there are many times I try to do it myself, or I schedule other things, or I look at prayer as an afterthought, and God, that's not what you want. And so, Father, we come before you now, and I pray that you would hear our prayers and that you would respond. And God, I pray as over these next few minutes, as we just focus upon you and just pour out our hearts, our thoughts before you. Father, I pray that you would answer. And Father, if we have not, because we ask not, Father, we are asking now. Father, we don't want to be wearied by those that we race with on foot. Father, we want to be prepared when other things come, when the crises emerge, when trials come, when the pressures build. Father, we want to be prepared. And so, Father, I pray you would make us into a praying people. You make us into a people who are pursuing you first and foremost, people who do not step out on their own understanding, but lean completely and totally upon you and you alone. The best of human thinking can't build your kingdom, Father. We need your wisdom. And so, Father, we pray you would give that to us even now. And it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, John writes, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to have a time where we just want to go before God and repent. Repentance means that you turn from one thing and you turn toward something else. You turn from your sin and you turn toward God. It is a change of mind that results in a change of direction. And so we want to go before God, and if there's anything in your heart, in your mind, in your life right now that you just need to lay out before God and say, God, this is hindering your work in my life. It's hindering the way that you want to speak, the way that you want to move. I want to repent. I've been thinking this morning, and I've been knowing that today was coming. God's been pointing out stuff, and then God's been dealing with certain things, and I've laid those before God, and then I think, okay, great, I'm fine now. And then God brings up a whole new raft of things, because he had to get these things out of the way, I think, before I could even see these things, these other things. So is there something in your life? Is there a spirit of anger going on in your heart and in your mind? Is there greed, or is there some anxiety that's just seized you up? Is there something lustful going on in your mind? Or are there sexual sins going on in your heart? Is there unforgiveness in your life right now that has led to bitterness? You realize that forgiveness requires a desire to be like Christ. For you to turn that over, it requires you to trust God and a desire to be like Christ and live like Christ. Bitterness, all it requires is that you're willing to be miserable. Some of you have been holding on to unforgiveness, and it's turned into bitterness, and you're thinking, one of these days I'm going to turn it loose when I get ready. How long is that going to take? You're absolutely miserable in that bitterness. Maybe there's something else going on. Maybe there's a host of other things that could be going on in your life. Whatever it is, we're going to take a moment here. And we're going to go before God, and we are just going to ask him to forgive us as individuals for whatever it is. Again, you come to the altar, pray where you are. However it is that God leads in this time, we're just going to do some business with God and ask his forgiveness for our personal sins in our lives. So let's pray. God, as we come before you, we recognize that any righteousness that we have in and of ourselves, your word tells us it's as filthy rags. Father, we know that we can't come into your presence boldly unless we share the righteousness of Christ. Father, the only one who can bear your presence as one who bears your righteousness. Father, we're thankful for the gift of Christ, and we're thankful that we can come before you. We're thankful that you hear us. We're thankful that when we repent, you accept that. When we're broken by our sin, when we bring it before you and lay it before you and tell you, you know, we've made a mess, and that we're sorry, and that we want you to change us, that you do that. So, Father, for everybody here this morning who laid something down before you, Father, I pray that you give us all the strength to not pick it back up, and that we would love you more than our sin. We would pursue you more than the temptations that come. And we're thankful for your faithfulness in forgiving. No matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we fall, you're always there and you extend your grace. And we humbly thank you for that. That's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Our next time of prayer, we want to pray for the church in Ephesians. Paul writes this. This is in Ephesians chapter 3. This is his prayer for the church. He says, for this reason, I'll bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The psalmist writes in Psalm 127 that unless the Lord builds the house, those who work on it labor in vain. We recognize that the church is God's church. The church is God's bride. The church is not just some organization. The church is a body that belongs to Christ. And so with that in mind, would you pray for us as a local body of Christ, the local faith family, the people that share this area with us? Would you pray these things for the church? Would you pray that we would be strengthened with God's power? Because we can't build things up on our own. It doesn't matter what programs we have. It doesn't matter how great our process is. It doesn't matter how wonderfully efficient our systems are. None of that matters. None of it matters unless God is working. None of it matters unless God empowers this. We want to pray that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. And that word dwell means to be at home. We want Christ to be at home in our hearts. Is Christ at home in your heart? We want Christ to be at home here in our hearts within this local faith family. We want to be rooted and grounded in love. We want to have the strength to comprehend what's the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ. Every facet of Christ's love for us, we want to be able to understand that, and that we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. That someone who does not know Jesus at all might walk through these doors and walk in and say, there's something going on there that I've never experienced and something I can't explain. Why? Because we want to be filled with the fullness of God. We want to be as close as we can be to exact representations of Christ here on earth. That's the idea. Well, but I'm not perfect. I can't do that. None of us can. But God can be seen through us. Would you pray for the future of our church? As we go into 2018, we have a lot of things on the horizon. We have a lot of things that we believe that God wants to do in us and through us. We believe that we are to be a church in this area that stands out. Not that anybody else is doing a terrible job. It's not what we're saying. But we believe that God has uniquely gifted us for such a time as this for a particular purpose. And we want to do exactly what it is that He has in mind. We don't want business as usual. We want business as it is in heaven. It's what we want. We want God's will to be poured out and be perfectly accomplished here among us. Well, that sounds awfully lofty. Well, do you know my God? He's a lofty God. Do you know my God? He's a powerful God. Do you know my God? He holds everything in the palm of his hand. Do you know my God? He is the one who speaks and weather changes, and he's the one who can halt the rotation of the earth, and he's the one who speaks and he can speak stuff into existence that wasn't even there a moment earlier. That's the God I serve. So God can do amazing, incredible things, as we just saw, above, far above, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray for everybody in this room and the people who aren't even here yet that are going to be joining this faith family over the next year. And we're going to be pouring their gifts into what we're doing. That's what we want to pray for during this time. That God will show up and that we will be a church that is known, not for what we do, not for how cool this is, not for how great that is, but that we will be known as a people who know God and follow God and are growing together. So pray with me as we pray for our church. As a church, we come before you. And we know that we're to be your representatives here. We're your ambassadors. We're your image bearers. And God, so often we do a poor job of that. At least I do. I find myself bearing the image of mankind a whole lot easier than bearing the image of your Son. And the only reason for that is my own unwillingness to surrender and die to self. Father, I pray you'd make us into a church that bears your image as exactly as we possibly can. Whatever you have in mind for this church, come end of 2018, Father, I pray you would accomplish everything. I pray you would give us a knowledge of you, a desire for you, a hunger for you, a thirst for you. And I pray we would run hard after you, Father. I pray you'd make us into a praying people. I pray you'd make us into a people who are solely focused upon you and your mission. Father, transform us. Grow us together in unity as we follow you. Father, make us into the people that you have in mind. And we know the people you have in mind are people who look like your Son. And so, Father, I pray you'd do just that. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we love you. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. A few minutes ago, we watched a video from the IMB, and it's talking about people around the world that don't hear the gospel. And there are people here in this area who aren't saved, who don't know Christ, who are not followers of God. And not only that, you have family members. You have friends who do not know Jesus. I was reading in Romans chapter 10, Paul is writing about Israel, and he writes this: "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." I can't stress that. That's why we're here. That's it. We're not here so that we can have some cushy seats and air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter and listen to some great music and hear some preaching and then head out to Cracker Barrel or wherever. That's not why we're here. That's not it. We're here to bring glory and honor and praise to God so that God will be known. And we want to make him known in the world, and then we want to see people come to know him and receive him as Savior and have their lives transformed and be made into a new creation. When I think about the things I busy myself with, while there is a world that is dying and going to hell, that staggers me. I'm not trying to say that out of guilt. That's the reality. That is the reality. They are living without Christ, and they are dying without hope. And here we are, having been given the message, having received this message. And if you're a follower of Christ, you have been made anew. You're a new person. Your sins are dealt with, washed away, cast into the depths of the sea, as far as from the east is to the west. It's done. It's finished. It's you've been washed clean. How can we keep that to ourselves? So like Paul, that's the thing we're going to pray for next. We're going to pray for those. And some of you have a name. Some of you know who this is. You have a name of an individual. Maybe somebody you work with, somebody that you know who works in a restaurant, that you see on a regular basis, one of your family members, one of your friends, a coworker in a cubicle down the hall, someone that you know your company has a contract with, that you deal with on a regular basis, someone who may be in your own home. You know exactly who that person is. And if you say, I don't know anybody who doesn't know Jesus, can I just tell you right now in a very loving rebuke, you need to get some more friends, some lost ones. You do. You do. But we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for those people who we know who don't know Christ. And we're going to pray. I mean, we're going to pray for those who, as we saw in the video, those who have surrendered their lives as missionaries and they're going around the world to spread the gospel, putting themselves in harm's way, giving up on all sorts of luxuries, quote unquote, that we would say that we have here in order to go live somewhere in tents or huts or in a dangerous situation or in a situation where most people don't speak their language and maybe the food's a little strange, but they're going over there and they're putting all that aside in order to spread the message of the hope that is found in Christ. So we want to lift up those individuals who do not know Christ, that God would soften their hearts, that God would start doing a work in them. And in Matthew, Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into the field. Let's pray that God sends out people. Let's pray that God gives us a passion and a desire to see people saved. And let's take those opportunities. Let's make those opportunities. Let's go out and do that because that is the only reason we're still here. You realize that the moment we start following Christ, God could just take us with him right then. Zap, gone, into heaven. Why would he leave us here? To bring as many people with us as we possibly can. That's why. So we're going to pray. You probably have friends. You have loved ones. I do. There are people in my mind right now. I've got two names right now who do not know Christ. And if they were to die this moment, they would go out into eternity without him. And that's serious. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to pray that God raises up people. I'm going to pray God raises up people from this group of people to go and spread the message of the gospel here locally and nationally and internationally. Join me in prayer. God, we're we're amazed by your grace. God, you didn't have to send your son. As a just and holy God, you were well within your rights to say, you blew it. It was your mercy that gave us Christ. We receive mercy through your Son, but it was your mercy that gave him to us to begin with. Father, there are people who are on our hearts. There are people who are heavy on our minds. There are names that have been voiced in the last few moments in this room, Lord God, that people have prayed for, some of them for years. Father, I pray that you would hear, and I pray that you would use us as a people to carry that message of reconciliation. I pray that you would convict. I pray that you would convict these individuals. I pray that you would convict these people who need to hear from you. And I pray that you would just weigh heavy upon them, Lord God. I pray that you would speak to their hearts, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would rouse them from their spiritual sleep. I pray that they would recognize your holiness and your justice and your righteousness and recognize their sin in the light of who you are. And they would also recognize your great mercy and your grace and your love in sending Christ, and that they would turn from their ways and they would turn to you. God, we ask you would do that. Even now in this moment, work, Lord God. Lord, we pray that you would raise up people to go and to serve you. We pray that you would raise up laborers to go out into the harvest. Father, make us a people who are passionate about the things you're passionate about. Make us a people who are after your own heart. What breaks your heart, may it break our heart. May what brings your heart joy, may those things bring our heart joy. And Father, we know that your heart is for those who are far from you and that you want them to be brought near. And so, Father, I pray that you would raise us up to be the kind of people you would have us to be. And we would go out. We would do your will. We would spread your message. But also, Lord God, that we would pray. We would pray earnestly. We would pray often. We would pray passionately, Lord God, for those who do not know you, so that they might know you as the only true God. We give you thanks, and again, we give you praise. Amen. I realize that in the sense of prayer, this may be a little backwards because what I'm about to do, but one more time, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and we're going to be dismissed. All right? Not going to have an invitation today, but if you say, I was going to join today, you come see us afterwards. We'll work that out. If you say, I don't know Christ, I want to talk to somebody, come see us afterwards. I'll be here. I'll stay as long as you need me to stay. Okay? Don't let that hinder you. But what I want us to do now is this. Let me just read this verse to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is the will of God. You know what the will of God is? Part of the will of God for your life is to give thanks in all circumstances. Some of you are in some circumstances right now, and they don't seem like a circumstance that you want to give thanks in. But you know what the will of God is? That you give thanks. Surely there is something that you can latch on to right now in your life that you know that if God hadn't shown up and God hadn't worked and God hadn't revealed his power in that situation, it would not be happening right now. Maybe you want to thank him for your salvation. Maybe you want to thank him for your family. Maybe you want to thank him for the job that you have. Maybe there's some physical possession you want to thank him for. Maybe there's a spiritual blessing that you want to thank God for right now and you just want to say, God, thank you for that. Do you realize that's one of the major things that's missing? Confession and repentance is really missing in the life of most Christians, but thanksgiving and gratitude. Why? Because we feel like we deserve everything. We have this sense of entitlement that we walk around with. And as days go on, it just gets worse. Thanks. We're going to take a moment. We're just going to thank God for all the things he has given to us. No matter how small. If you just start listing stuff to God, God, thank you for this. God, thank you for that. God, thank you. Thank you. I have a roof over my head. God, thank you. I can come and I'm living in a country where I can come and I can worship you freely without anybody trying to stop me. God, thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. We're going to take a moment. We're just going to thank God. And then I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing. And then after we sing, we're going to be dismissed. And if there's anything that you have not prayed about this morning, maybe you need to take this time and say, okay, God, you've been pressing on me. You've been dealing with me about this. Maybe you need to backtrack. Well, there's that thing that I should have repented for. Or maybe there's that person I should have prayed for. Or maybe there's this. Or maybe there's whatever it is. You do business with God, but we want to take a moment here and we just want to thank God for all that he's done and for who he is. And we're going to pray that in this moment we see him more clearly for who he is. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you, God, that whenever we pray, you hear. When your people pray, you respond. So, Father, we're expectant. Not that we're trying to force you into a corner to work, but you just say that you work when people pray. You answer. You hear when we call. And so, Father, I pray you would do just that. We're thankful for all that you've given us. You've poured out so much. You've poured out things we don't even know to thank you for. Hidden blessings. Things that are tucked away in the corners of our lives. Divine orchestrations that we would never even recognize as coming from your hand. So, Father, I thank you for those. Not even knowing what they are. Just knowing they're there. Father, I give you thanks for these people. I give you thanks for this church. I give you thanks for this faith family here. For their love for you. Their passion for you. Father, I pray you would stir us up even more. I pray that you would just give us a fresh breath from you. Father, I pray that you would give us a burning in our hearts for what you want to do here among us. So, Father, now as we wrap up this time, Father, I pray that we would not just leave prayer here, but we would, as you have said in your word, that we would pray without ceasing. So, Father, now during this time, as we're closing this morning, we're just going to come before you, God, and we're just going to give you praise. Father, we're going to just lay our hearts out before you and just praise you for who you are. Father, we pray that as we leave today, that we might leave knowing that we've met with you. And we're asking this not for our glory, not for the glory here among us. We're asking it for first and foremost your glory alone. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We honor your name and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Join with me as we praise God.